Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth, with dust on their heads. Then those of the Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood up and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord for 1/4 of the day, and for another 1/4 they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Now, they stood up. They stood up. That word for stood up means they stood up. And for 1/4 of the day, let's say there's 24 hours in a day, 6 hours. Now, can we stand up for, what am I going to go, about an hour and a half? And read? And just stand up? We're not going to do that, but we are going to stand up for a little bit. They stood up and they confessed and worshiped. We've stood up and worshiped. You know why you're standing up. You know what it is that you need. I go from the youngest here to the oldest here. You know what your situation is. Are you kidding with God? The word confess in the Greek is the word that we use to harmonize. It's the same word. And basically what it's saying is, I agree with God that what I'm doing ain't right. Now, what if you keep doing the same thing over and over again? What if you know it's wrong, but you keep doing it? At some point in time, don't you figure to yourself, God must be like really sick of me saying how sorry I am? I mean, at some point in time, don't you know that God's going to say, you know what? I'm done with you. I'm done. You keep saying how sorry you are. You're not sorry at all. You keep saying how you're apologetic. You keep saying, but you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Wouldn't you think that God would be sick of that? I mean, honestly, question? Amen to anybody?
Amen.
But he don't. But he don't. And I think that is the baptism of understanding. If God's love for us is God's love, then I think there's a point in time where I have to say, you know, God's not looking to punish me. He's looking to forgive me. And I don't know if I can deal with that anymore. I think from now on, I'm just going to stop. I'm just not going to screw up anymore. Because if God's going to keep forgiving me, I'm kind of getting sick and tired of hearing myself say, I'm sorry, God. Because if God's not getting sick of it, we see you, Alex. Just come in. You think you're going to creep in unawares? I don't either. I'm kind of playing it by ear. Then Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, Chenani stood on the stairs of the Levites and cried out with a loud voice to the Lord their God. And the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodijiah, Shebaniah, and Pathaniah said, stand up! Bless the Lord your God forever and ever. I figured if it worked for them, it could work for us. And now, the next 20-some-odd verses is very interesting because the more I read it for the last 2 weeks, because we had the prayer meeting last week, the more I realized this isn't reading of the word. It's a group prayer. It's like the leaders, who are they? They were like Levites and scribes, and they were reading, but they were like saying a prayer. So I thought, let me get some guys out here with big mouths, and let's read this together. I'm going to hand the Bible off. You could start at the verse 5 there.
Let me see that.
Shh. Don't interrupt.
I can't.
You can't see that?
No.
Go get your glasses. I got them right here. Then put them on.
I know. I was going to borrow yours.
Whoa.
That's too big.
What am I reading?
You read a few verses, but read them with guys, receive as you read. Put your Bible in front of you. Come on.
Where are we at?
We're Nehemiah. Did I not tell everybody?
No.
Verse 5.
I'm sorry. Oh. Nehemiah 9. I'm sorry. That's my own bad. Nehemiah 9. Dean's going to pick it up in verse 5. He's going to read a few verses, and we're going to go right on down the line. And read it with gusto, what word did you use? Bravado? I love it, bravado. Nehemiah 9, chapter 5. Now remember, I want you to picture this. There's thousands of people, and this crazy thing has happened. They figured out that this guy, Nehemiah, he really cares about them. It's like you teenagers here. You have to figure out someday, your parents really care about you. And they're not telling you things to keep your fun in check. They're telling you things because it's good for you. And you guys out there that are young in the Lord, you know, you're reading all these do's and don'ts in Scripture. God just wants to mess with my money. God just wants to mess with my sex. God just wants to mess with my job. He's only telling you this because he cares about you, man. These things are good for you. And it's like all at once the nation figured it out. But they didn't know how to pray. They didn't know how to confess. They didn't know how to worship. So they did the same thing that the apostles did. They came in and said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And here, the scribes, the Levites, the priests, they said, okay, follow with me. Dean.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Starting in verse 5. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Just making sure. He said be loud. And Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, and a bunch of other people said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all. Blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heavens of heaven, with all their hosts, the earth and everything in it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The hosts of heaven worship you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham.
Stop. So now he's starting to tell the testimony of the nation of Israel. There was a man named Abram. And Abram was part of a tribe called Ur of the Chaldeans. And God looked at all the people on the earth. There was no Jews. And he said, you. I love you. He looked at all of our families. He looked at all the people and he said, I love you. And you go, why? Why? Do you know how many times I've asked God why he loves me? Why do you choose somebody so flawed, so failure-ridden? Why? As we read together the testimony of the Israelites, watch the commentary that is included. The Bible says that I am God and I change not. And it's the theory of some that God changed from Old Testament to New Testament. He's God. He never changed.
Verse 8, you found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it to his descendants. You have performed your words, for you are righteous. You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all the people of his land, for you knew that they acted proudly against them. So you made a name for yourself as it is this day. And you divided the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors you threw into the deep, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar, and by night with a pillar of fire.
Have you not read in the book of Exodus what God did? Have you not read? Do you know that what we're reading happened some 3,000 plus years ago? Do you know that all these tribes of the Arabs still hate the Jews because their God killed our people? Do you know that some people consider as a memory, some people consider as a story, it is still reverberating through history that there is a man named Moses who said, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. And the waters rose up like a heap, and over a million people went through it on dry ground. And then at the word of God, it crumbled upon the nation of Egypt. And the Egyptians to this day still talk of the hate they have for the Jews because of what their God did. Do you know that when the Israelites were going through the wilderness in the book of Exodus, that he led them, literally led them, with a pillar of fire by day and a cloudy pillar? You know what I meant. Go ahead, I'm talking
verse
too much.
Verse 12, moreover, you led them by day in the pillar, like you said,
see?
Cloud by night, and the pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. You came down on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws. By the hand of Moses, your servant, you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst and told them to go in to possess the land which you had sworn to give them.
Do you guys know that story? You know the story? Moses, they were complaining and he hit a rock with a stick and God had it crack open and pour out water. Have you heard that story? In Exodus chapter 20, where it says that God took a piece of stone from the mountain and with his very finger he wrote the Ten Commandments and gave them to Moses. Do you know the story when Moses came back down and he threw the tablets? Go ahead.
But they had our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Even when they made the molded calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you out of Egypt and worked their great provocations, yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor did the pillar of night to show them light. And that was the way they should go.
No, that's good. Do you know you think God's mad at you because you smoked a joint, because you had premarital sex, because you climbed out the window, and you think God's mad at you, and that's what the world wants you to think. That's what they want you to think. That's what the enemy of God wants you to think. And God says to you, I am with you. You can do whatever. I will go through your dirt with you because I love you. Have you ever made a molded calf and bowed down to it and worshiped it? If God would forgive those who did that, it's so crazy when you read it. When you read these things, have you ever read all the times that the Israelites turned their back on God and God opened the rock and gave them this and God fed them manna and God did this and God, and yet they hardened their necks and they hardened their hearts, and you think to yourself, man, if I was God, I'd, until you think about your own life and go, Yeah, I guess I'm not so good either. I guess I'm pretty glad that I'm not God, because God don't judge me. He just wants me to love his son.
Verse 20. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Moreover, you gave them kingdoms and nations, and divided them into districts. So they took possessions of the land of Shihon, the land of the king of Hezbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan.
Stop right there. Let me give you guys a little thing. You Bible geeks, you're going to love this. Does anybody remember who Og, king of Bashan, was? Okay, Bashan was a land that the giants were from. He was a Nephilim. Og was the king of the Nephilim. Does anybody remember what those are? If you don't know the story, the giant Goliath was from a race of people who were mixed with angels from Genesis chapter 6. This is crazy stuff. You can look it up later. There were these giants in the land. Rephaim, they were called back then. Nephilim. Og was the king of them. When the Lord Jesus was speaking through David in Psalm 22, he said, "The bulls of Bashan surround me." The Lord Jesus on the cross was seeing these demonic activity go on around him. The bulls of Bashan had surrounded him. There is such stuff going on here. Ah, I get the chills when I think. Go ahead.
Also multiplied their children as the stars of the heaven, and brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to go in and possess. So the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued before the inhabitants of the land, Canaanites, and gave them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they wished. And they took strong cities and a rich land, and possessed houses full of all goods, cisterns already dug, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness.
At what point in time can anybody here say, "I worked hard for what I have, I earned it, I deserved it, this is mine"? Because in 25 years of running my business, and getting up early and staying up late, I've come to one conclusion after all these years. I've accomplished nothing without God's blessing. And if I'm looking at the men standing next to me here who have won and lost, who have gained and lost, who have accomplished and lost it, I will venture to say there isn't a man among you that would say they have anything to do with their own success, that it's all the grace of God. Anybody?
Amen.
Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, cast your law behind their backs, and killed your prophets who testified against them to turn them to yourself. And they worked great provocations. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their enemies who oppressed them. And in their time of trouble, when they cried to you, you heard from heaven. And according to your abundant mercies, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies. Dean, pick it up in 28. When I was sitting in a jail cell, and the lawyer told me I was looking at 10 years for my wonderful life of crime, I had a friend of mine named Bob Cunningham, and he said, "Are you ready to give your life over to Jesus Christ?" And I said, "I feel so stupid. Now that I'm busted, now that I have nothing left, now when I've run out of money, I've run out of friends, I've run out of influence, now I'm going to give my..." I felt such a hypocrite. I felt so like I couldn't do this to God. And I look at this over and over again. They turn their back on God. Over and over again, he forgive him. Look, listen to what he said again. And in the time of trouble, verse 27, when they cried to you, you heard from heaven, and according to your abundant mercies, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies.
28.
Yes.
But after they had rest, they again did evil before you. Therefore you left them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. When they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies, and testified against them, that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they acted proudly, and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and would not hear. Yet for many years you had patience with them, and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets, yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for you are God, gracious and merciful. Mm-hmm.
32.
Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us, our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets, our fathers and all your people, in the days of the kings of Assyria until this day. However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither our kings nor our princes, our priests nor our fathers have kept your law, nor heeded your commandments and your testimonies with which you testified against them. For they have not served you in their kingdom, or in the many good things that you gave them, or in the large and rich land which you set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works.
Here we are, servants, today, and in the land that you gave to our fathers to eat of its fruit and its bounty. Here we are, servants, in it, and it yields much increase to the kings you have set over us because of our sins. Also, you have dominion over our bodies and our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all of this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it.
Guys, you could turn your back on God over and over again. The Israelites have done it for hundreds of years. But here's the thing that you're going to have to figure out, and this is something only you can figure out. You can have more satisfaction, more pleasure, more good things in your life by giving your life over to God than you can by turning your back on him. Now, you can. You can be here and you can be one of those people who say, you know what, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. If God's going to keep forgiving me, fine, I'm just going to keep messing around. And when I want, I'll just say, God, forgive me. And he will. Yes, he will. But I will tell you this. By the end of your days, you will know they've been wasted in futility. For in serving God, you would have had so much pleasure, so much satisfaction. You will know that your life was well lived when you served God, and so wasted by turning your back on him over and over again. You guys may sit down now. Thank you very much for your help. We're going to read the covenant that the Israelites made with God. And I ask you, if this moved anything upon your heart, yeah, you may sit down. If this moved anything upon your heart, then I want you to look at the covenants that they made with God. Because yes, God's grace and mercy are good, but you want to know what the proper response to grace and mercy is? Obedience. Obedience. Yeah, you could keep turning your back on God, and He's going to keep forgiving you. But I got a better idea. Why don't you keep your front face to God and say, lead me, guide me, I'm yours. Every man that was up here, I know their stories. They have walked away from God numerous times and said, God, I'm not interested in your plan. But we wind up back at the throne of grace over and over again and say, God, I thought sex would satisfy, and it don't. I thought money would make me happy, and it don't. I thought relationships, I thought a big house, a new car, I thought these things would satisfy. How have I been ripped off? How was I so lied to? How do I feel like everything I want will bring me happiness? Yet in the end, the only thing that ever brought me satisfaction and happiness was following you. In poverty or in loneliness, in turmoils, in beatings, in lack of, it don't matter. To follow God, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ is the only satisfaction you're ever going to get out of your life, guys. Now, those who placed their seal on the document were Nehemiah the governor, the son of Hakaliah, and Zedekiah, Seraiah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Pashur, Amariah, Malkijah, Hattush, Shebaniah, Maluk, Harim, Merimoth, Obadiah, Daniel, Ginnathon, Baruch, Meshulam, Abijah, Mishamim, Maaziah, Bilgai, and Shemaiah. These were the priests. The Levites, Jeshua, the son of Azaniah, Benui, the sons of Henadad, and Kadmiel. Their brethren, Shebaniah, Hodijah, Kalida, Peliah, Hanan, Micah, Rehob, Hashabiah, Zekor, Sherebiah, Shebaniah, Hodijah, Bani, and Beninua. The leaders of the people, Parash, Pahath, Moab, Elam, Zatu, Bani, Buni, Azgad, Bebai, Adonijah, Bigvi, Adin, Ater, Hezekiah, Azer, Hodijah, Hashum, Bezai, Harif, Anathoth, Nebai, Magpiash, Meshulam, Hezer, Meshabazel, Zadok, Jadua, Pelatiah, Hanan, Ananiah, Hoshea, Hanani, Hashub, Halahesh, Pilha, Shobek, Rehum, Mehesiah, Ahaz, Hanan, Anan, Maluk, Haram, and the last name that I'll never name any of my children, Baana. You have a whole list of names that you'll never use for naming your child. There you go. Now the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the Nethinim, and all those who had separated themselves from the people of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone who had knowledge and understanding, these joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his ordinances and his statutes. We would not give our daughters as wives to the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. Now, I know that it's really weird for some people saying, oh, well, nobody's given me to no man and nobody's taken me for no woman. Listen, every time you go on one of them websites, the dating websites, that's exactly what you're doing. You're asking somebody to coordinate your next date. You're doing an arranged type of marriage. So if you go to Christian Mingle or whatever those are that you're going on, just know this. You're asking somebody to arrange a marriage for you. Here, he says, God, the first thing, I promise, I'm not going to give my son to any woman of who's not. Let's apply it. My son shall not marry any woman who's not a Christian. My daughter shall not marry any man who's not a Christian. Well, how do you stop them from doing that? Well, you have certain influence, you know, and you have to take that influence seriously. And if you don't take that influence seriously, who do you think's going to pay for it in the end? You? Because you're not going to get an extra gift at Christmas? No. They're the ones that are going to pay for it. Take my word for it. Continuing. Oh, I love this. They knew they were entering. Look at verse 29. They entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was by, which given. So they knew, as you should know, if you break the law of God, you're cursing yourself. Some people can see a bird in a cage and go, oh, that poor bird, he's stuck in that cage. Look at the bars on that cage. Oh, that's poor bird. Some people can say, man, that bird's lucky. Man, he's got bars to keep him out of the danger of Sylvester the cat. He gets canary food and water. Man, that's a lucky bird. Now, you can also look at God's law and say, well, it says don't do this. It says don't do that. You can say, oh, man, God just didn't want me to have fun. Or you can say, look, he made me. He knows what's best for my marriage. I'm going to follow it. Because I tried it my way, and it don't work. Verse 30. We would not give our daughters as wives to the peoples of the land, nor take their daughters to our sons. If the peoples of the land brought wares or grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day, and we would forego the 7th year's produce and the exacting of every debt. The application, so you guys know, was the 7th day was the Lord's day to keep it holy. The Israelites were not supposed to work on the 7th day. They weren't supposed to do any tasks. Here, they're rededicating themselves to doing that. Plus, the 7th year was a year they were supposed to do no harvesting. Let all the fruit stay on the vine, let it fall off, let it rot, let them glean. They said, we're going to get back to that. Here's our application. Guys, you're supposed to be in church at least once a week. If you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to receive the word of God, if you want to encourage other people and be encouraged by other people, if you want to stay sharp and filled, you got to be in church. I go to church twice a week. Sometimes I'm here 3 times a week. Now you guys, oh yeah, it's easy, it's your church. No, it ain't easy. I got to tell you a funny story. Some of you guys have heard it. Some of you guys already know where I'm going. There's a story about a knock on a door. Son, get ready, we're leaving for church. I don't want to go to church. Son, wake up, we're going to church. I don't like the people at church. I don't like anything about church. I'm not going to church. Son, we are going to church. You're the pastor. You have to be there. Everybody knows that knock. Verse 32, also we made ordinances for ourselves to exact from ourselves yearly 1/3 of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread, for the regular grain offering, for the regular burnt offering, for the Sabbath, the new moons and the set feasts, for the holy things, for the sin offering to make atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of our God. We cast lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for bringing the wood offering into the house of our God, according to the fathers' houses, and appointed times year by year to burn on the altar of the Lord as God, the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. They decided The house of God needed to be taken care of, and everybody was going to take their part. There's going to be nobody who's going to come to that, oh, great, this is the church, okay, this is cool, I like it, I sit down. You know, I'm not really crazy about the band. I don't know, I wish they'd hire some new people or something like that. Oh, you know, these chairs are beat up and old. You see the carpeting? Oh, man, I can't stand. Why is that light always going out? Every time people were appointed, and they said, you know what? I'm going to take care of. You know, we got this dude, I hadn't done it in a while, but he used to come in every few months, and he's not here. Omar used to come in here, he'd be power cleaning, he'd upholstery cleaning the seats, sometimes he'd do the rug. Some people just take it upon themselves. Somebody donated a month's rent to the church last month. That's $12,000. In the mail, there it was, $12,500. I was like, oh my goodness. God, you are so amazing. I just want to take ownership of something. I just want to be a part of it. Now, from the perspective of blessing, that's a great blessing, but from the perspective of curse, listen, I want you to see the things they're going through. You having problems with your kids? Here's why. You having problem with your marriage? Here's why. You having problem with your finances? Here's why. Here's all right there. It's all laid out for us. Not only did the Israelites experience this, but we experienced this. You having a problem with your life? You don't go to church. What do you expect is going to happen? You're not spending time in the Word of God. What do you expect is going to happen? I've said this how many times in the last month? What other area of life works this way? I don't put nothing in, but I want to take something out. Where? Gym? Yeah, I'm going to go to gym once a week, but here's what I want to look like. I want to look like him. No, that's not how it works. You got to work out regularly. You got to eat right. You can't. I want to have a good marriage, but I really don't like talking to my wife too much. Yeah, that's going to work for you. Where else would that work? Why do we think it's okay with God? Why? Right? Where else is it going to work like that? You having a problem with your finances? Well, if you're not rich toward God, don't expect blessings upon your finances. I don't understand how that works. Well, maybe nobody taught you about tithing. I'll teach you about tithing. God gives you 100% of what you have, and he says, I want you to give 10% to the church. Plus, I want you to maybe support a missionary, maybe take care of a kid in need, maybe adopt a family who doesn't know the Lord and pay their electric bill. Is that on top of my 10%? No, that's beside your 10%. That's completely different. I told you you're going to mess with my money. Well, it's not me messing with your money. It's God messing with your money. Well, it's my money. Okay, well, how's that working out for you so far? I tell you, at my point in time in my life, I can't afford not to tithe. I'm afraid if I don't tithe, God might hold back some of the blessing he's been giving me, and then I can't pay my mortgage. I'm truly afraid. Just letting you know, that's how I am. Verse 35, and we made ordinances to bring in the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all the fruit of all the trees year by year to the house of the Lord, to bring the firstborn of our sons and our cattle, as is written in the law, the firstborn of our herds and our flocks to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God. You know what they did? You guys know that we have a, what's that thing called over there? A pantry? We have a pantry. People bring in food and put food in the pantry. We have a freezer in there. We have a ministry where people make food. That way, if a family comes in and they're hurting, just take. Give. Take it. You got a single mom, next door neighbor, take some of the food. They always had food because the people who were ministering in the house of the Lord, when the poor came, there was always something for them. To bring the first fruits of our dough, our offering, the fruit from all the kinds of trees, the new wine and oil to the priests, to the storerooms of the house of our God, and to bring the tithes of our land to the Levites. For the Levites should receive the tithes in all our farming communities. And the priests, the descendants of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive the tithes. And the Levites shall bring up a tenth of all the tithes to the house of our God, to the rooms of the storehouse. Even the church was supposed to give 10% away. By the way, which we do, we help other churches with their rent. We sometimes there's Calvary Chapel Wellington up there. We sometimes help them with there. If there's another church, we look to give 10% also as an entity away from what comes in. We don't want to be a church who's existing upon being a church. The rent's $12,000. The electric's, I think, was it about $1,000 altogether? It's about $1,000 a month altogether because there's like four separate units. We don't want to just bring money in so we can pay the bills so I can come here and yell at you guys every week. We want to actually do something more. And God has blessed us. And now, last few months, as I told you guys, it's like, okay, I hope the money's there when the rent's due. And then all of a sudden, somebody pays a month's rent. Whew. Lastly, verse 39. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the grain and the new wine and the oil to the storerooms where the articles of the sanctuary are, where the priests who minister and the gatekeepers and the singers are, and we will not neglect the house of our God. Please give me your attention. Here's where we finish. I find this amazing. What was their biggest sin? Did you read anything about, I'm not going to sleep around anymore? Did you read anything, I'm not going to do this anymore? I'm not going to... No. You know what he just said? And I love this. I love this application, even though I might be wrong, but I love this application. You know how many people come to church and say, you know what? I like smoking weed. And I know you guys aren't into that, but I like smoking herb, okay? It keeps me calm. Hey, man, I like to drink my beer, okay? I come home, I want to drink a beer, takes the edge off. You know, I like watching this. I like going to movies, that. I like to... Here's what I say. Smoke all the herb you want. Drink all the beer you want. Take all the pills you want. Do anything you want to do. That's up to you. But here's one thing I want you to do. Read the word. Spend time in prayer. Go to church and worship God. And let God do everything else. When God wants to take the herb away from you, he'll do it. When God wants to take the beer away from you, he'll do it. When God wants to take your perversion, he'll do it. But here's what it is, and you've heard me say this before. You should have written in the side of your book. Well, mine got washed out, but sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin. Everybody who smokes herb, oh man, I like smoking. Smoke herb, smoke all you want. You reading your Bible every day? No. Why? I'm too stoned. Okay. And that's the great thing that I just saw there. They sin, and their confession of their sin is, we're just going to follow what the Word of God says from now on, okay? And we'll let God worry about everything else. I love that. Just add the Word of God to your life. Add worship to your life. You don't have to come here and clean yourself up. The Bible says that he who begun a good work will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Love God and do everything you want to do out there. And if God don't change your life, then call me a liar. But I know that's what changed my life. When I got saved, I was not involved in very good things, guys. All the nasty stuff that they're talking about. And I certainly wasn't rich toward God. Give God money? Please. That's my money. God ain't sold a darn reptile. Now, God sells every reptile. Tried something different. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Just trying to stay to the word. You know what I mean? Let's pray. God, help us to fall in love with your word. Help us to obey what it says when we read it. And God, I do pray if there's anybody in here that their heart was just a little bit softer tonight because they found out that it's your kindness that leads to forgiveness. It's your mercy that leads us here to your throne of grace. God, I pray that they would give you a chance in their heart, that they would not be afraid nor ashamed to call on your name. And they would not let anybody bully them into thinking they can't do this. God, I pray that your spirit would fall upon us to do the things that you called us to do. God, for those of us that are here, like myself, who we want to do what's right, but we just keep running out of strength. And all the things that we want to do, we seem not to be able to do. And all the things that we don't want to do, we seem to be stuck doing. God, may your supernatural Holy Spirit fall upon us and set us free from the captivity of our sin. May it be more than just stopping. May it be your Spirit leading and guiding. Thank you so much, God, for your word. May our lives be changed because of your word. We ask it in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.